This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
John Whitehead is the CEO and the founder of the Rutherford Institute. He joins me live in studio. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
Thank you. Very busy.
I bet you are. I want to tell you first, before we talk about some of the issues now and some of your recent commentaries, I want to thank you for hosting me on Friday morning. It was an honor and a thrill to come in and speak to your class and even some members of the community who came for the talk. I spoke about Thomas Jefferson and leadership, and you told me before I went down there, we were chatting in your office, and you said, now get ready because these kids are amazing. College students and law students from around the country. And the questions...
UVA as well.
Yeah, UVA, including UVA, lots of folks from UVA. The questions during the Q&A were some of the very best, most insightful, challenging, I love questions like that, questions that I've ever had in any public talk. And I was so impressed with the caliber of the interns that you have there. And you said this is one of the best groups we've ever had.
Yeah, the amazing thing is they come free. They spend a lot of money to come here. I can't afford to pay them. And so there's over 30 students today. Four students from India came in, and they're going to be there a week studying Rutherford, and they wanted me to talk to them on democracy. So I spent 30 minutes going through Jefferson, the basis of democracy, and they got it. They had difficult speaking English, but they're university students. They're connected with some UVA program, the university intern program. So it was kind of neat to see them nodding their heads. I passed out a copy of my book and the Bill of Rights, and we talked about it, and I told them they need to go back to their country, respectively, and start talking about democracy more. And
yeah,
they're going to be there a whole week with us, so I think by the end of the week, we will have them thinking more about freedom of speech and those kind of things, which is a neat thing to see, and they got it. I went over the idea of how Jefferson's Declaration of Independence was the founding document of the country, and why it was so important, the idea of higher law and the two forms of law in America is we the people and the higher law, and the government's subversive to those two laws. And we've kind of debunked the higher law concept now, the so-called when Jefferson mentions the word creator, you know, he's talking about a higher law that all governments there. We're all born with these rights and the government cannot violate them.
Yeah, yeah.
We've kind of debunked that these days. We believe government gives us our rights, and that's anti-Jeffersonian. And I talked to him about that, and they got it really clearly. I said, there's two great principles that America was founded on. Those are two. That's the basis of democracy. Now it's up to we, the people, to ensure those rights exist.
One of the interesting lines of conversation that I was engaged in on Friday with some of the students was this idea that, you know, when Jefferson was a kid and he's growing up, when you're born, you are born a subject of the king, and you are born into the sanctioned church. And that's what you were born with.
Yes.
And it was this totally revolutionary new idea that, no, you're not born a subject of a king. You're not born a member of a church. You are born with rights to be in a church or not in a church.
Rights that existed before you were born, before the church, before the government existed, yes.
Yeah.
And so I was explaining that to the students this morning. I think they were nodding their head going, gee, this is revolutionary stuff.
Yeah.
It's stuff that Americans today don't think about. So it's a very, very important. So, yeah, the students are engaged. We have great speakers. We have Dahlia Lithwick's coming in to speak on the Supreme Court and the new nomination process. Speakers out of D.C., human rights on torture. So if people want to know more about it, they can go to Rutherford.org or call 978-3888, and you can attend from, you know, the public can attend. Seating is very limited, so...
But all of these are open to the public. If there's somebody speaking at the Rutherford Institute that you want to see, just show up early, let the folks know you're there, and they'll find you a seat. And it's very convenient. It's right over near Albemarle High School.
Right.
Check it out online, rutherford.org. We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute, and the phone lines are open. 977-1070 is the phone number. All right, now give us the latest on the news regarding Congressman Tom Perriello's office, and this has made news recently, protests from the right and the left.
Yes, we were contacted by various groups about the possibility of protesting at Tom Perriello's office. So I wrote the congressman a letter and basically said that this was going to happen, and it As I understand now, some of it is going to happen, and I was just asking him to hopefully let it happen, and also ask him to, again, reconsider when his lease is up, maybe moving his office to an easier place where people can get to him so we don't have to revisit this over and over. And so I think we haven't got a response from the congressman yet. I think that, as I see it, there people are going to be visiting his office, so in whatever form. But it's, again, a constitutional issue we're looking at. It's in a private parking lot, which, again, private property sacrosanct. But the question that that we have to look at in this case, he is a public servant. It's we're paying a salary. It's basically a public office at that point. Does it change the nature? Should there be some area in the parking lot where people can congregate? Some people can go inside, but not 40 or 50. So it's a difficult, very difficult issue, and we're looking at it. But I think that there are a number of activists. There's the Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice. Their activities.
David Swanson's group.
There's the Jefferson Area Tea Party group. So, again, I'm not a political person. We're not a political group. I look at human rights issues. I think today people need to challenge government in whatever form if they don't agree with it. It doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican. I always say that the Democrat-Republican labels today are really basically illusions today. I mean, we have to be Americans first and preserve our rights of those on the left and the right. So, again, it's a very difficult issue. I think that the congressman is going to have to visit the idea of where his office is going to be when the lease runs out in his office, because I do think this issue will be a dead issue if there's a place where people can have much easier access to the congressman, which, by the way, generally I like many of Perriello's policies. I'm not opposed to him politically, no.
Yeah. And for folks who don't know, his office is over there on Garrett Street, I guess, just a couple of blocks off the downtown mall. It's a big office. It's much bigger and much more convenient than Virgil Goode's office. I mean, his was literally just off the mall, but not much space in front. It was one of those side streets on the mall. But Tom Perriello's office has a huge parking lot.
Well, I think times have changed. I think that no one anticipated all the dissent in the country. And that's what's happened. When the congressman moved in that office, I'm sure he did not know that the Tea Party was going to come about. President Obama came in sort of almost as a peace candidate. He was going to change all these things, and he was going to promote
civil
liberties.
End the war, yeah, yeah.
He hasn't done any of that. In fact, he's got the biggest war budget since World War II, which is going to make people that are anti-war activists want to protest. So it's just natural. My own opinion of all this is that it's very, very healthy. And as I said in my letter, I believe that public servants, no matter who they are, should be championing the First Amendment in some form, doing the best they can to promote it. And I am really sorry it's in a private parking lot. It's difficult. I mean, it's a conundrum. It's a very difficult issue.
Yeah. We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. You can learn more online at rutherford.org. Let me ask you this. Speaking of dissent and protesting, you had a commentary recently titled Forcing Politicians to Listen, Dissent, Rebellion, and All-Around Hell-Raising, which if anybody knows the Rutherford Institute, they applaud hell-raising in America because that is the spirit that folks like Jefferson intended, to get up off your butt and participate and let your feelings be known.
Well, Jefferson said you need a revolution every 20 years. I'm not sure he was talking about violent revolution. You probably know more about that. Was he?
He basically said every 19 years, he wants us to rewrite the Constitution, to scrap it and start over. Because he said, you're going to learn new things that we in the 1700s, we have no idea. And you're going to learn new things. You're going to discover new things. The world will change. Don't let us hold you back.
Don't become static.
Exactly.
Keep dissent and freedom
And he
alive.
Hated the idea of these, originalists and literalists and people like following the Constitution like it was the Bible or some sacrosanct document. Hated that idea. Rip it up and rewrite it if you need to. You need to do that. Own it. Make it yours.
Washington's so far away today. I mean, the average person, the average voter can vote. But then the president's, to be honest with you, I thought Obama was coming in with a lot of he was going to change a lot of things. But even the ACLU has come out and blasted his civil liberties record now. He said he was going to alter the Patriot Act. He just re-upped the whole thing in his White House push for renewing the Patriot Act as full as has been done. There's all kinds of strange legislation that you as citizens need to know about. There's the new Cybersecurity Act. We just got a copy today. We were alerted to it. It's over 280 pages. It essentially gives the President of the United States to declare a national emergency and shut down all websites or websites that they think are terrorist websites or whatever. It's a very dangerous-looking piece of legislation. We're now analyzing, our students are. And there's so many things going on in this country today, and you're so far away from it. And I think the basic place that you can have any kind of impact today or big impact is on the local level, and that's where you should be exercising your freedoms, city council meetings, school board meetings. I hear people complain all the time, and I say, when was the last time you went to a city council meeting? They look at you like, well, I haven't been down there. They're too busy watching O'Reilly or Keith Olbermann, and which many times, sorry, a lot of those shows can be a waste of time. It's better to be down and being active. And I've come to the conclusion that if they're not listening in Washington, D.C., and it doesn't seem that they're listening very carefully, there's, if you're a voter, I mean, you can be uncivil. And that just happened at a big Nancy Pelosi meeting in San Francisco. She showed up and progressives were there, and they started yelling her down. They unfurled banners attacking her.
Yeah, I mean, the left wing is just as upset and angry as the right wing.
Yeah, and rightly so now. I mean, it's gotten to the point where, how do you get their attention? The second method would be civil disobedience, like Martin Luther King, Gandhi, the greats of society. Very few people will do that. It takes a lot of intestinal fortitude to do those kind of things. And then the third way is violence. We don't want that. We've already seen that. And I'm afraid that if people are not allowed to vent in appropriate forums, we're going to see more violence. The First Amendment, we must remember, is the steam valve. It lets people blow off their steam, and we've got to let people congregate. We've got to let them speak their minds, those that are really, really upset. Do not force them underground.
That's when it really gets dangerous.
It gets dangerous, yeah. So that's what the First Amendment's designed to do. Madison said, the First Amendment is to protect the minority against the majority. And what he was saying, it wasn't racial minorities. It was those minority of citizens that are angry. Let them speak. We want them out in the public. We want the people who are for peace and against war out in public talking in front of their congressman's office. We want them, the Tea Party people who are upset by policies where they're at. We want them out in the public. We want Coy Barefoot, John Whitehead to be out in public if we want to speak up. If we stifle that, I'm afraid, and as history shows, they become very angry. We have people in the United States now training in militia camps with weapons. But the federal government, they think the government's going to come and get them. Well, they may be right. I don't know. But
some of those people have been right. I mean, Ruby Ridge and Waco, and they were right. The government did come for them.
I'd rather see them down at City Hall with a picket sign instead of a rifle. And I think that's what the First Amendment's designed to do. And that's why, when I talk about Tom Perriello, any of our representatives, they have to champion those. If not, then we're going to get us. I mean, America's becoming more violent. We know that. We saw after the health care, people cutting Tom Perriello's brother's gas line. You're going to get violence. Let people congregate. Let them have their signs. Let them express themselves. If not, they become very, very frustrated. We don't want to see that.
We're talking with John Whitehead. You can read his commentaries in, of course, a number of newspapers around the country, but also online at rutherford.org. Do you have a recent commentary that jumps out at you that you want to share?
I think the thing that we have to be concerned about, and I keep talking to people about this, is what's happening to civil liberties. We thought that Barack Obama was going to change all that. He really hasn't. In fact, he recently came out and expressed not quite disdain, but concern over the liberal decisions of the 60s, which the Miranda rights warnings, the right to counsel for indigent people. Shortly after that, his attorney general, Eric Holder, came out and wants to create a basic exception for terrorists. This is American citizens. You won't have Miranda warnings. So we're seeing a trend, I think, that's quite dangerous. Now they've introduced, supposedly, or are getting ready to introduce legislation in the White House, the Obama administration, on this, where in certain situations, American citizens will not be able to get their Miranda warnings, which are very important because most Americans don't know that they have a right to a lawyer, that they have a right to remain silent. that things they say will be held against them. So, I mean, I had a commentary called Getting After the Devil, Obama and Civil Liberties, and the argument is that it comes from the great Thomas More's great statement in a play where he says, after you've cut through every row and tried to get after your enemy and you've destroyed all these rights, what do you have left? Nothing at that point. So I think we have to really be careful today, and we have to watch our government very careful, like this new Cybersecurity Act, we're analyzing it now. I mean, how much power are we going to give the government? How much power are we going to give them the power to shut down websites? The National Security Agency now has a computer system called Acquaint, which sweeps all websites and reads our websites and monitors them. I mean, these are violations of the Fourth Amendment. They're unreasonable searches and seizures. They don't have a warrant to do that. Be careful with your text messages. They can sweep your text messages. Here's another thing. How many people know now, since 2006, the Library of Congress is keeping all Facebook messages? They're keeping them in toto. In other words, everything you've said, whether silly or crazy or bad jokes, is now a matter of public record. And if you ever want to be a congressman or a judge and you said something incredibly stupid when you were 19 on Facebook, you probably won't be a
judge. It'll be in the Washington Post one day.
Yeah, and they'll be quoting that back at you and something that you said off the cuff. So you have to be careful what you say on Facebook now. They're watching. And this is the state of civil liberties in America. It's very, very dangerous at this point in time. We have to be very, very vigilant and watch. Watch and be careful and be active in government. There's no such thing as having faith in government anymore. You have to be vigilant. You have to be very vigilant. And who said that? Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah. Now, how do you maintain this vigilance without turning it into just this rabid, because you know me, and in Jefferson fashion, I believe in moderation. I believe that there is a middle ground from which to govern without getting out on either wing, left or right, that is best for all Americans. How do you have this vigilance without turning it into this rabid anti-government, everything the government does is bad? Because I don't necessarily believe that.
No, I don't believe that either. No, I think, well, first of all, I think what I see today, when I write some articles, it's usually somebody from the left or right that's really upset, and they're saying, you don't like Obama, you don't like this, you didn't like George Bush when I was fine. Yeah, I didn't have anything against George Bush. I would love to go to the White House and eat dinner with Barack Obama. It'd probably be the best meal I ever had.
Yeah.
I'd be paying for it, by the way.
But
I think it is, think about human rights, A, that's the first thing. It's the Constitution that's the most important thing in America at this point in time. It's our civil liberties. It's not each other. We shouldn't be fighting and yelling at each other over politics. And practice what Martin Luther King taught. He said it very clearly. We've got to stop the cycle of hate. It just continues. We got to learn to love each other. We don't need to be degrading each other. He said that he didn't want to degrade his so-called enemies. He treated them with respect, and that's the way we should treat everybody.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one thing that concerns me the most, whether it's on radio or television or the people that get on every day. It's just hate, and they don't get it because we have to be together. If we're going to have any positive change, it's not just going to come from the right or the left. We have to get there together.
Yeah, divisive media people are not really, in my opinion, not all that much better many times than the government. Yeah, we need to work together. That's the point. Left and right has to come together if we're going to make any change in the United States, because what is happening out of Washington is so awesome and so large that we either pull together or we're all going to sink together.
Yeah, I mean, the problem that exists, and it's real, benefits by keeping the right and the left apart and by having them at each other's throats all the time.
That's why I say it's an illusion. They want us bickering about politics. We lose at that point.
John Whitehead, he's the CEO and the founder of the Rutherford Institute. You can learn more online at rutherford.org, and you can also get the calendar for the Summer Speaker Series. Head on out to the Rutherford Institute this summer and enjoy one of many fantastic speakers. And again, that schedule is available online at rutherford.org. John, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.